Good morning and a very warm welcome to you as we gather together for our online worship. We begin our worship today as we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of being able to meet together in this format, something we never really thought was possible, something we've got used to. But Lord, we're so aware that even in this moment, you are present with us. So wherever we might be, Lord, we would pray that through your Spirit, you would make your presence felt. As we watch this video, so Lord, we come to honor you, to worship you, to glorify you. So be with us in our watching. Be with us in our listening. Speak to us through your Spirit. As we read scripture, as we respond to that, Lord, this is our worship of you. Receive us as we come. Receive all we bring into this moment. And Lord, may you be the one who is glorified. We pray this prayer in and through the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And so we join together in worship as we sing together our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. So we turn to scripture as we read our scriptures for today. Our reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through to verse 17. Jesus, the real vine. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching that I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Those who do not remain in me are thrown out like a branch and dry up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another, just as I love you. The greatest love that you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you: love one another. May God bless his reading to us in his precious name. A few years ago, there was a word that was circulating, almost a buzzword. The word was authenticity. It's a lovely word, authenticity. What does it mean to be authentic? Are we authentic in who we are? Are we authentic Christians? Are we authentic followers of Jesus? Many people say that churchgoers are such hypocrites. They go to church on a Sunday, but then the way they live during the week is so different from what they profess on the day when they go to worship. Sadly to say, those people are often more correct than wrong. Many people profess to be believers, profess to be Christians and followers of Jesus, but often those are just empty words. Those people tend to be inactive church members or attenders, what we often call pew warmers. Those might be the people who only worship at Easter and on Christmas Day. We have a term that we sometimes call people like that, church butterflies. They flit from one church to the other, but never settle down in one community. For those folk, their faith just doesn't seem to be authentic. It's almost unreal. How authentic is our faith? In John chapter 15, which we read earlier, Jesus gives us a way of determining what an authentic follower of Jesus looks like. And if we apply it to ourselves, we could say, this is what an authentic follower of Jesus is. And Jesus begins by saying, look at the lives to see if they are bearing fruit. There are results to being an authentic follower. There is a display of fruit if we're authentic followers of Jesus. In fact, if you read the passage a little bit more carefully, Jesus mentions fruit-bearing 8 times in those 17 verses. And the first thing that I noticed as I read that passage was there's an expectation of fruit. An expectation that fruit will grow, that there will be evidence of being connected. The fruit that Jesus expects to see, or the fruit that is to grow, is love. Jesus says twice in that passage, "My commandment is this, love one another as I have loved you." Jesus expects that fruit to grow in his followers. If we claim to be or profess to be disciples of Christ, Jesus expects to see the fruit of love grown. Jesus looks for his love in the lives of his followers. I'll say it again. Jesus looks for his love in the lives of his followers. If we're not doing that, if we're not showing and exercising that kind of love, if we're not bearing that kind of fruit, and not just that fruit, but if we're not bearing good fruit, wholesome fruit, then we're not doing what Jesus calls us to do. Then we're not doing what Jesus expects us to do. The second thing that we need to notice is the conditions of fruit bearing. And there are two of them. There's the condition of pruning and the condition of abiding. Firstly, pruning means that we will remove everything that hinders or prevents fruit growing. Pruning takes away everything that prevents good fruit growing. An illustration that I came across was of an artist who used to sculpt images out of blocks of marble. And somebody asked him, how on earth did he manage to carve out such a beautiful angel out of a block of marble? To which he responded and said, it's really easy. All I do is I chip away everything that is not the angel. When it comes to our faith, pruning is about cutting away everything that is not of God, that is not of Jesus. Pruning is about cutting away everything that does not belong, thus giving more space for good fruit to grow. More space, if you like, for God to be seen in our lives. The nice thing about pruning means that we're not perfect. Every single one of us has stuff in our lives that we need to prune. Stuff that's not of Jesus, not of God. Our pride, our prejudice, our untruth, our false selves. Those things that we say that we shouldn't say. Attitudes that do not reflect kingdom attitudes. Every one of us has pruning that needs to be done. And we don't always get it right. That's why pruning is needed. We don't always have it all together. We're not perfect. There's still work to be done. And there will always be work to be done. Pruning also can be painful. And it can be a struggle. But it is the journey of getting rid of everything that's not of God. It's the journey of getting rid of that stuff so there is more space and more place for God's fruit to be born and to be seen. The second condition of good fruit growing and good fruit bearing is that we need to be abiding. Abiding means allowing Jesus to live within. The term abiding describes the intimate relationship of the vine and the branches, or of Jesus and his followers. And the only way to be pruned and to abide is to maintain that spiritual, that vital spiritual connection with Jesus, who is the vine. We must do whatever we can and whatever we need to do to maintain and facilitate that vital spiritual connection with our Lord. Remember, Jesus as the vine will always fulfill his part of the relationship, as long as we, the branches, remain in union with him. It's as we remain in union with Christ, as we abide in him, we can be pruned. It's as we abide in him that he continues to grow us, and fruit is born and we bear fruit. Jesus is always present if we abide in him. We might not always feel like it, but he is always present. And pruning and abiding is an ongoing, never-ending process. An ongoing, never-ending process. The third thing to notice are the benefits of good fruit bearing. First, others will know that a person is an authentic follower of Jesus by the fruit that is born. When fruit bears, when we love in the way Jesus calls us to love, people will see Christ in our lives. People will see Jesus in an authentic follower of him. The characteristics of a Jesus-filled life are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. When those things are real in a person's character, the fruit of love will be born. If you bring any of those things into any encounter, into any relationship, into any engagement, God will be seen. Remember that song and that Bible verse? And they will know we are Christians by our love. If the fruit of love is born in our characters, in our interactions, people will know that we are Christians. The second benefit of good fruit growing is that good fruit always brings glory to God. An authentic follower of Jesus always points others to their Lord and Savior. An authentic follower of Jesus will always show the evidence of a deep connection with Jesus the Almighty. An authentic follower of Jesus, there will always be a sense of a sustaining strength that helps people cope with life. I often experience this in funerals that I lead and that I share in where I minister. When you have a Christian who has died, there's a sense of hope, a sense of we can cope. When it's a non-Christian or a person of no faith, their funeral, you sense deep sadness, deep struggle and pain. It's not to say that Christians don't experience the pain, but there's a real sense of knowing that one can cope when life is tough because there's this connection with Jesus. The authentic follower of Jesus, there will also be a deep sense of community. It's not just about myself. It's about the body of Christ, the community. When people walk through a fruit orchard and they look at the trees, they determine the kind of tree. How? By the way it looks and by the fruit that it bears. When we walk through life and other people see our lives, what fruit do they see in us? What fruit do they see in you? Can they see Christ-like life in you. We are called to love. We are called to bear fruit. It's the expectation of an authentic follower of Jesus that fruit will be seen and we can point people to Jesus. Can they see a Christ-like life in you? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us. And you choosing us, Lord, we respond to you. And so it is our prayer, Lord, that we would be good fruit bearers. And that in bearing fruit, Lord, people would see the authenticity of our faith. The realness of what it means to be in relationship with you. That as we abide in you, fruit is grown. That as we share, we love in the same way that you loved us, in practical ways. And may we always be pointing people to you. As we scatter the seeds of fruit, may people, Lord, turn to you. May they see you in our lives. May they see you in the fruit that we bear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our concluding hymn this morning is that hymn, "We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the ground, so fruit may be born." We sing together. Thank you again for joining us. as we go our separate ways, please receive this blessing. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.